God bless everybody. This is Dan Majera. I'm happy to be here with you on a conference call today and get to see some beautiful faces. There's a little baby over there I never met before. And it's so sweet to see new life and see how God blessed us with a whole new generation of kids. So it's really huge, huge, huge blessing. So today I want to talk about the phrase looking to God and two aspects of it, watching and waiting. And I was thinking about how there's common phrases that happen in our culture. We call it slang, I guess. And sometimes they're very descriptive and sometimes they're not very descriptive. Like, I remember back in the 70s, so I'm showing my age here, that there was a phrase called, oh, that's neat. So we said it all the time in all sorts of contexts. And originally, it had this really powerful idea to it. I was like, wow, that's so great. But when I was in Germany in the mid-70s, we were saying that as we were talking in English to some of the German people, and they were looking at us like, neat? You mean orderly? Clean? What does neat mean? And I'm going, oh, yeah, you don't really know what that means, do you? Because it doesn't have a meaning. It had kind of lost the real meaning of the word neat and substituted it. So, well, today we have cool, awesome, rad, you know, we use emojis to say something like that. But I was thinking about the phrases in the Christian church that start initially to have a lot of power, and they meet a need at a specific point. But then the more you say them and the more you say them over and over and over again, you start to wonder, what does it mean, really? And one example is, like, bring the kingdom down to earth. You know, when Bill Johnson first wrote that book, it was powerful. And it still has some power. I'm not saying it doesn't. But the phrase itself, you start to go, wait, what does that really mean? And another one is Graham Cook has a phrase about brilliant thinking. And he continues to use that, and it has been very powerful and affected a lot of people. But if I just say that to you, you should have brilliant thinking. You go, okay. all right, sure, whatever. Anyway, another one in the past was look to God or look only to God. And we have continued to use that phrase. And originally it was very powerful encouragement to trust God and to rely upon Him, to go to Him for whatever was needed. That's the gist of what it means when you say look to God, right? But I wanted to look at it a little deeper today because really when you say look to God, you go, okay, what does look mean? Look only to God. Okay, so I went and I started looking at some of the words for look. And there were at least 19 different Hebrew words for look. So, like, which look are you talking about? It's everything from really simple about to see, just, you know, to see something, to watch really carefully. So the one about watch carefully really caught my eye in the Old Testament. So I wanted to look at a couple of verses with that particular word. We're only going to actually look at a couple different words today and concentrate on these two ideas of watching and waiting. That's not the only aspects of looking to God, but there's these two I want to just really focus on today. The Hebrew word is tsaphah, T-S-A-P-H-A-H. And it means to watch closely, to observe, and another definition is to spy. Like, to seek out a clue. Yes, spyglass. Okay. Let's watch closely. And when you have a spyglass, it brings into focus, right, what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. So there's two verses I want to look at that are about watching really closely. The first one is Psalm 5, and in verse 3. And I'm going to read the King James first, but then I'm going to read a couple of other translations, too, because they make it clearer. Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Look up is this word, Sapa. You see in King James, if you're looking at King James, that my prayer, the words my prayer are in italics. That means there is no Hebrew word there. So there, the King James translators added that word in there so that it would make sense. So I will direct something to you. So other translations add, like, a request. I will direct a request to you, or I will direct my case to you. We're going to read the NET version of that same verse. I'll just read it to you. Lord, in the morning, you will hear me. In the morning, I will present my case to you and then wait expectantly for an answer. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a cool translation? I will wait expectantly. I will watch closely. I'll, like, spy on what it is that you're going to answer me, because this, I just presented my case to you. I poured out my heart to you and just said, this is what's going on. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with it. And then, but instead of, like, getting all worried and anxious and all that stuff, right, decide to just watch closely. Watch closely and expectantly that God will give the answer. Isn't that a cool way to understand the sense of God? Here's one more translation of that same verse. In the morning, this is the New American Standard. In the morning, O Lord, thou wilt hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to thee and eagerly watch. I will eagerly watch. I love that. I will be expecting for the reply to my prayer or my petition. And lots of other ways this word is used. It's like the watchman on the wall. In the Old Testament, the cities would have a wall surrounding them, and then they would post watchmen who would stand on the wall. And especially at night, they would watch for an enemy to come. And then they would sound the alarm if they saw something unusual going on. Hey, there's somebody approaching the city. Get the guys out here. You know? So to be a watchman in a day-by-day-by-day fashion, that's what I think God calls us to do. It's like eagerly watch for his answers in every single situation. I don't care how emotional it is, how deep it is, how trying it is. There is nothing that God won't answer. And so we can be expectant and eagerly watch for his answer. The second verse is Micah 7, verse 7. And this one I'll read the ESV and the NIT. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Here's the NET. I will keep watching for the Lord. That's where the Sapphire is. I will look to the Lord. Micah 7, 7. I will keep watching for the Lord. See that? Eagerly watching. Watching so that we're spying out, when are we going to get the answer? How is it going to come? I will wait for the God who delivers me. My God will hear my lament. My God will hear me. I mean, he said that in meditation. He always hears us. He always hears us. He never turns us away. Ever. Not ever. So, but our job is to do the listening part and the watching part. So that's the part about watching. Now, the New Testament. Come to find out, there's about 19 words in the New Testament that are translated left too. I was astounded. I was just like, okay, wow, this is amazing. So, you know, this topic is not being exhausted today. but the one that stuck out to me is the Greek word skopeo, S-K-O-P-E-O. And it means to look at, observe, contemplate, direct one's attention to, intensely focus. Remember that teaching, I forget when, that Barney did about the telescope, right? Yeah. Skopeo, scope, comes from, yeah, a scope brings things closer and into focus. So skopeo really means to, like, intensely focus. And the greatest verse that I found was 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. This is the ESV. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look, there's skopeo, not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They go by real fast. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So what are we supposed to focus on? Well, we focus on the invisible things, not the five senses. We focus on spiritual matters, things like love, kindness, praise. And when you focus on it, it brings it closer, right? So that you zero in on those things, and then things that are seen just kind of fade into the background. Doesn't mean they're not there. Okay? But they fade when your focus is on the spiritual matters. And what's really interesting about this verse is it brings into focus the hope. And now the hope, we have the hope of Christ's return, right? We have the hope of living with Christ in a millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. We have all these things that are future hope. We're going to get a new body. I mean, it's just going to be great. But we also live every day in hope. And I call them mini hopes. You have to have hope. You have to have things that you are looking at which are not seen yet. And, you know, a good example is my sister and I have been working on trying to find a place for my mom because her health has deteriorated and we didn't know what to do. And the assisted living at the place where she's at right now was really expensive. So we started looking at all these little homes and went, oh, no, we can't do this to her. You know, there were so many factors. And it blew up into this big thing, right, because it wasn't an answer. So that's why I was studying these things, because I knew that I needed to watch and expect for God's answer, but I also needed to just focus on the fact that he did have an answer, that he really did have an answer for us. And come to find out that the assisted living side of the place where she's at right now, they offered us an incredible deal that made it totally affordable. She gets to live in an apartment, which is almost exactly like the one she has. And we're just trusting that she's going to be really, really happy and taken care of there. So that was part of the answer. And now I see that I got to keep on scopeoing. I got to keep focusing, because there's still more answers that are going to be coming. It's so many things in life are like that. But if you have hope, and you have that hope fixed in your mind of like there is going to be an answer, then you can proceed on the path that God lays in front of you to do. And I'm talking to you here. I mean, using a personal example so that you can see that it's all about looking for the fulfillment of God's promises. And when you look expectantly, now, this is the second thing, is then you wait. There's waiting involved. And so there's three words that are used with the Greek word dekomai. And dekomai, most of the time, it means receive. But it also means, the picture about dekomai is actually to take with the hands, like take hold of. You take something. When you take it, then you receive it, right? But you actually have to take it with your hand in order to receive something. So there's three words, and we're just going to look at a couple of verses each one. Pros dekomai, P-R-O-S dekomai. It has the preposition pros with it. So the first one is to wait for something. And an example in the New Testament was how Simeon had waited for the consolation of Israel, and he was waiting and waiting and waiting for the day when he knew he would see the Messiah, because God had promised him that. So he was waiting for something. But this is a verse I want to look at. Titus 2, verse 13. So this one is waiting for something. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So see, we wait for things. We not only wait for the answers to our prayers and stuff like that, but we wait for the day when we're actually going to see Jesus Christ face to face. This is, oh, glorious day. Yeah. And now this one, the second word is ek dekomai, E-K, dekomai, and ek means out from. So this one means wait from. And you're going to see this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. To wait from something means that you look forward to it. Like you're waiting from the place of promise. And then you're waiting from that place until something cool happens. So this is what Jesus Christ is doing in Hebrews 10. But when Christ, verse 12, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. God had given Jesus Christ a promise that all enemies would be under his feet. They would be put under his feet. So he actually sat down and he said, okay, I'm waiting from that place of promise until it comes to pass, because I'm going to see the day when all the enemies are under my feet. Mm. And he's waiting. He's not like waiting like, he's still doing stuff, right? He's working on our behalf. And he will continue working as Lord of the body and head of the body. And in all kinds of situations all over the world, he will continue working until the enemies are under his feet. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, the last word is up ek dekomai. A-P-E-K dekomai. Now, Bob had said some other words last Sunday, so I'm echoing his use of prepositions in Greek here, even though that's not, you know, totally my forte, right? But these were too cool to pass up. Apo, the preposition apo, means out from, or like aligning yourself with something. So we had wait for, and then we had wait from. And this one is wait out, wait it out. Wait it out with patience. The apo in front of it means that you have to patiently wait. You have to wait out the time, whatever that time is, to find the answers we need, to get the many hopes so we can see them come to pass. We'll look at Philippians 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. The Aramaic says, we labor, our labor is in heaven. A good example of that was I was telling you about Germany. We lived in Germany for a year, but we were not citizens of Germany. So we were not subject to all their rules, and we didn't think we were. In fact, we went around telling people, like, I'm sorry, I'm a citizen in the United States. I don't have to listen to you. Different things, you know, like, you should do this, you should do that, you can't have this. I remember one time, it was 4th of July, 1976, and we decided that we didn't care. That was the birthday of our country, and we were going to go shoot off fireworks. So we went out to this big field, and we shot off all these fireworks, and the policemen came up to us, and they're like, what the are you doing? And we said, "What? We are citizens of the United States, and we are celebrating our anniversary of the birth of our country. So, get lost." And he did. He didn't say one word after that. He just walked away. I was like, okay. But see, we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. And we labor, we work from that place of citizenship. And from it, from this place, we waited out with patience to see the Savior, the Lord Jesus. We have lots of labor to do here on earth. But we wait with patience. We're going to wait it out until the day that he calls us home, right? Okay, Romans 8 has, these are the last couple of verses here. Romans 8, verse 19. The waiting out part implies patience. Verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. With eager longing, we wait with eager longing. The creation is waiting, too, for the day when Christ will put it all back together and God will be all in all. Go down to verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, remember, looking at the things that are not seen, right? We wait for it with patience. Ah, ex-decomai. We wait for it until it comes to pass. We wait it out. We're going to wait it out completely. So those were the three words in the New Testament I wanted to share. So sum it all up here. Watching and waiting. We eagerly watch. We be a spy. Search out the clues. Where's God's answer? And then focus in on the promises, like scopeo. Another example of scopeo is a laser beam. You know how a laser cuts through things? It corrects your vision with a laser. Because the light is so focused, it can take this tiny, tiny little stitch in your eye to correct it, or whatever it does, you know? So be a laser light, you know, focus your attention on God's promises. And then patiently wait. Take with your hands the fulfillment of God's promises. Now, those many hopes, and for the future. Because hope maketh not ashamed. And we can look to God. And this is just two aspects of it, see? Watching and waiting. So, God bless you.